How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. Big fight Saturday night. Anthony Rumble Johnson. First question. Have you been given any official word as to whether you're guaranteed this title shot if you win this fight on Saturday?
Oh, no. You know how that goes. That doesn't happen. I've kind of heard the same thing before, before like the Rashad fight and stuff. So I'm not putting, too much emphasis on that. I'm just kind of doing what I can do, and what I can do is just go out there and control what I can control. I can't control all those variables. It could be, the champ out there gets hurt and I have to wait, and while I'm waiting, another guy's out there fighting and racking up wins, and then they put them in, or anything could happen. And so for me, I just control the fight in front of me. And so for me, I wasn't done thinking about it. I thought about it too much, like last summer when Jones and Anthony Johnson fought, and then I was supposed to fight Cormier, and then Gustafson got the title fight with Cormier. And so for me, it's just going forward, one day, one fight at a time. That's it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Would you say that you've been sort of pretty much underappreciated as a top 205 guy so far, and it's only really now that you're beginning to get the credit you deserve?
I think there's kind of a lack of respect there, a little bit, even, from the fighters in that division. Even like my last fight, and Cormier and all that call me easiest fight in the division, yet I keep winning on a 5-fight win streak and ranked number 4th, and so for me, it doesn't matter. I know what I can do. My family and team knows what I can do, and that's all that really matters to me.
Why do you think that is, though? Because it's a strange one. I mean, it's not like you're sort of new to any of this. You've been in the UFC for a long time now. You've racked up a lot of fights and a lot of wins, and the winning streak you're on now, each win you're going in there and beating a higher grade of opponent each time. So why is it, do you think that you haven't been given that same level of respect that some of the other guys in the division have got?
Maybe because I'm not flashy enough, or maybe they look at my past and look at some of my losses or whatnot, and that carries over when I've grown tremendously as a fighter since then. So probably those kind of two things I would say that, maybe the past gets stuck in people's minds, when I was just a wrestler and I had losses, to say Tito and, this and that. But like I said, it doesn't matter. I just keep on going out there. I like being in the underdog. I like people doubting me and counting me out, and then I get to prove them all right or all wrong, and then myself and my training partners and coaches and people around me right. So that's the coolest thing for me. So I'll just keep doing that.
That's a good approach to take. You seem to have really sort of hit your stride in the last few fights. Is there something that's happened? Has there been a tweak in your training regime, or something new that's happened where it's almost like a light bulb's gone off, and it's like now we're sort of, we're in that position now where we can really make a concerted run at the belt? Is there something specific that you think has been the catalyst to you sort of going off on this winning streak?
Yeah, a lot of it is, my technical abilities catching up and all that, because I came into this game pretty much as a wrestler and learned in, the biggest organization in the world, in the UFC. I learned how to fight, basically, and so that's catching up. But I think the biggest thing, the one thing, would be my mentality and knowing I can go out there and beat anybody in the world and believing in myself. And so that's huge. This game is a ton more mental than, even physical. And so I think that was a huge, huge thing. And then just going out there and having fun, not putting too much pressure on myself. It's crazy how, everything, media you have and all that. But, for me, compared to back then, it doesn't bother me as far as I don't feel much pressure. I put pressure on myself to win, but every fight's huge, and I just have fun with it now. I'm not too worried about too worried about everything now, and so that helps me fight better. I go out there, I can see things better. The game kind of opens up more. It's not as fast as it used to be, where it almost felt like you were kind of blacked out and were just running on autopilot. Now I can kind of, I can think in there. It's open. It's almost like sparring a little bit. And so I think you know, that definitely, that mental game is definitely one of the things that's helped.
And one thing I wanted to ask you about, which it's not directly related to what you're doing inside the Octagon. It's something you seem to do quite regularly, and that's giving back. You know, you've donated money from either from your fight purse or from sponsorship money to I think it's Brian Stan's charity, isn't it? High Heroes.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about that and what it was that sort of led you to do that, because it's you know, it's MMA is a sport. I mean, even at UFC level, you know, you guys aren't the highest paid professional athletes in the world. So,
yep.
Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, you know, just being, you know, UFC is a, you know, big and does a lot with the military, and I've definitely been fortunate enough to, you know, go on a lot of these trips and meet these guys and meet the, you know, the Wounded Warriors guys and everybody in between. And so, and I also have a lot of friends in the military. We have a gym here in Arizona in the States that has a lot of military and police in it. And so I'm around it a lot, and hearing stories and seeing all that, you know, when I was traveling to these bases and meeting those guys, and you know, I just realized it would be, you know, you got to do a little something, you know, especially in the position you're in, whether it's giving money directly or, you know, using your name or status in the UFC to be able to, you know, basically raise money and give it back to. And so we've tried to do a bunch of different things. You know, we've worked with the Wounded Warriors. We've done this, we've done that. You know, and now we're working with Brian Stan because we know exactly where the money's going to, you know, and Higher Heroes. And, you know, he called me after the fight in Sweden with Phil Davis and said that, you know, one guy in particular saw the Higher Heroes and heard us talking about it, you know, on my shirt while I was walking into the fight. Got online, signed up, and he ended up getting a job after not having a job, you know, a couple of years, you know. So things like that definitely make you want to do it. And when you see those results and you see exactly how it's helping, then definitely want to do it. You know, I'm traveling around the world fighting in front of fans because of them. So I definitely love to give back.
No, all power to you. I think it's a fantastic
Thanks.
Gesture. Does the sort of the different landscape now with sponsorship, does that make that trickier for you to do? Because obviously before you could go out and get sponsors or whatever, and you could visually show your support for whether it's sponsors or causes. Obviously with the Reebok thing, it's a lot more regimented now, and you've got a set amount of money, which may not necessarily be as much as you could have got yourself. So how does that affect things?
Yeah, no, I got a lot more money when I was, you know, getting my own sponsors and stuff. And, yeah, it definitely is a lot harder now, for sure, 100%, you know. We've had a few sponsors that we've had for a while that have stuck around, you know, and we do stuff with them outside the cage, and they've been great to stick around with us, and we've always supported them, and they've continued to support us, and they just had to change their, you know, marketing approach, and, you know, without being in the cage anymore, they just had to change it up. And so we've been fortunate enough with that, but yeah, you know, I was definitely making more when I can get my own, and you know, you can wear it in the cage, and it was a lot easier, and so you just have to kind of change the approach. It is what it is, you know. You can sit and bitch and complain about it, but that's not going to do anything. You just have to, you know, figure out a solution to it and just kind of move on.
Absolutely. I know you're a family man, and, you know, you're in terms of the career that you've had, you know, you've worked very hard to get to where you are, and you're right on the cusp of a title shot here. If you get a win on Saturday, it would seem, on paper at least, a near certainty that you'd be next to face the winner of DC and John Jones. But if you sort of look beyond that and look at the bigger picture, you know, you've been fighting for 9 years, I think, professionally, and this weekend will be your 18th fight in the UFC. Are you at the stage in your career now where, as well as pursuing your world championship aspirations, are you also now beginning to think about life after fighting? Does that begin to creep into things as well when you're making career decisions and things like that?
Oh yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, when I was younger, you know, it was all MMA. You know, it was thought about it. You know, watched it all the time, this and that. You know, and now, you know, that's when I was, you know, 25, 26 years old, and you know, I was making a hard run at it, and that was it. Now, you know, I'm 32. I have three kids, I have family, and all that kind of stuff. So you definitely have to be thinking about what's going on after MMA. And you know, once you get in your 30s, you see a lot of guys, you know, they're doing great, and then all of a sudden they hit something that, whether it's their body or whatnot, and then it just takes a turn. And so for me, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that stick around and just go out there for paychecks and whatnot. And so, you know, I'm healthy right now. I feel great. I'm going to continue to fight as long as I'm having fun doing it, you know, and outside the gym, you know, I have things going on as far as setting things up. So when I'm done, I'm done. I can walk away when I'm not having fun, not going out there to fight just for a paycheck, you know. So we have a gym there in Gilbert. You know, we just manufacturing a beverage, which is a shot. It's called Jubi, J-U-B-I. You know, you can see it online at tryjubi.com, T-R-Y-J-U-B-I. And we just came out with that, you know, and we're signing some big deals to be, you know, nationwide here in a bunch of convenience stores. And so got that going, you know, and just trying to build things and get stuff going. So when I'm not having fun fighting anymore, it's not one of those things where it's going to be like, oh, man, I got to take one more fight because I need a paycheck, because I need to, you know, pay the mortgage or this and that. It's going to be like, I'm not having any fun anymore. I don't like going to the gym anymore. I'm done, and that's it. I can move on and transition seamlessly into something else.
Yeah, well, best of luck with that venture. I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you.
Last one from me, and thanks for your time. It's obviously about the fight on Saturday. You know, break it down for us. Rumble Johnson, he's only lost really the one fight in about three years, I think it is, and that was to DC, who he's got a strong wrestling base, just as you have. Break down that fight for us. How do you see the fight with him going, and how do you see yourself eventually getting the W on Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, he has a junior college wrestling kind of pedigree, which is, you know, I feel I'm definitely the way better wrestler, and definitely way better on paper. You know, so I'm going to look to exploit that. You know, he's going to come out there swinging bombs. You know, that's what he does. You know, he tries to get it in and out, and if he's getting you and he's bullying you, he's doing, you know, he's good at it, and he'll continue to go on. But if you give it to him back, you know, and all of a sudden you're on him, you're dragging him to deep water, or you're making them fight, you're making them get up off the ground, you're grappling with them, you know, it slows them down a lot. You saw that in the Cormier fight. And so, yeah, I mean, game plan is go out there, you know, use what I'm best at, and try to negate him and go out there, take him down, look for submissions, look for TKOs and ground and pound on the ground. And make him tired and make him not want to be in there. So we all know kind of the game plan. We all know the blueprint to beat him. It's been shown by, you know, Cormier, by Vitor Belfort, by Koscheck. And so, that's the plan.
And the final one, I know I said that was my final one, but I'll squeeze one more in. If and when you get that win on Saturday and Joe Rogan or John Anik, whoever it is, jumps in the octagon to talk to you. I know it isn't really your style to sort of grab the mic and make a load of noise, but is that something that you have in mind to do, just to really reaffirm your, you know, your desire to get that title shot?
You know, it'll be something that's off the cuff and emotional and done right then and there. It's not going to be something that's scripted or anything like that, you know. I'm just not that guy. Never was a guy to come off fake or anything like that. And so if I do, it'll be just something that is done right then and there and off emotion and is real. And so perhaps we'll see what happens.
Great stuff. Well, best of luck at the weekend. Looking forward to the fight. I think it's going to be a great fight and a fun event as well. So hope it all goes well. And best of luck with the ventures outside the Octagon as well.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that.
Great
Thank
stuff.
You.
Thanks, Ryan.